It's time for Making Democracy Work, a weekly program produced in cooperation with the League of Women Voters of Southwest Missouri. Your host today is Linda Regan.
Good morning. I'm visiting today with Karen Cameron, a recent retiree from the Internal Revenue Service and now in retirement, a first-time election judge. Our nation has gone through what I think most citizens would agree has been a contentious election season. So, Karen, amidst the controversy, thank you so much for agreeing to discuss your personal experience as a first-time election judge with our listeners. Welcome. So first, why don't you tell us why you signed up for the opportunity to be an election judge this past November?
I have a friend who told me that the county clerk was looking for election judges and poll workers, that they were afraid that possibly they were not going to have their usual cadre because of the pandemic, and that maybe some of the older workers would not be comfortable in working. And so I found this to be an opportunity that I could actually do something in the election process other than just voting. And I really think it's an important thing to be involved in our election process.
Thank you. That's a great answer. And we hope a lot of other people are inspired to do the same. Why don't you talk a bit about the process of this experience, first from signing up to then working from 5 a.m. on election day?
Well, the first step was that I had to actually sign up online with the Secretary of State. From there, I got another email from the election coordinator. Shortly thereafter, I got a confirmation email telling me that I was chosen as a regular judge and what my precinct would be, and contacted the precinct supervisor and got information from her that we needed to arrive about 4:45 to 4:50. We had to be there before 5 a.m. to begin setting up. And so from the time we get there, we started setting up. We have to set up the placards on the table that divide the voters, and then we set up each of our individual stations. And this time, because of the pandemic, there was plexiglass that had to be inserted around our station, and we stayed behind the plexiglass, and that was a separation. We set up our iPads, which had the voters sign in, and then we, you know, took a stack of ballots and put them at our station. We had pens for every voter so that we didn't have to reuse pens. You know, I was really surprised. The thing that surprised me the most is when I walked in at 4:50, there was already a line of people waiting to vote. I did not expect that at all. It was kind of surprising. And so, but we started right at 6 a.m. and it was very heavy in the morning, very, very heavy. At one point in time, I asked somebody, how long have you waited in line? And he said he'd waited 55 minutes. And so, you know, in the morning, there was an hour wait. There was less of a wait in the afternoon. And I think people were just got out early and to get to vote.
So after the election, Karen, we heard so much about questionable, and I'll just call them activities at polling places. From your experience, how easy would it have been for fraud to take place at your location?
It would have been extremely unlikely. We have counterparts at each polling site or precinct. We are paired with a member from the opposite party. So at each table, you have one Democrat and one Republican, and they are overseeing the ballots they're handing out, and they're dealing one-on-one with it, but they're doing it in unison. And the interesting thing is that each of us, when a voter came to us, they had to identify themselves with their voter ID card or their driver's license, and we then found them in the system, and we each had to initial off that this is the person that we were giving the ballot to. And then on the ballot, we each initialed it. And so once we hand the ballot to the voter, it is never touched again by another person other than the voter. We initial the ballot saying that this voter got this ballot. They're not numbered or anything like that. It's just that it's got our initials on the ballot for handing out. I just can't see how there could be any fraud in our area, simply because once the voter is handed the ballot, it never leaves their hand again until they insert it into the machine.
Karen, did you have any experiences at your actual location that gave you more confidence in the voting system?
I was completely unaware of the method of confirming that all of the ballots were accounted for. It was very interesting because as the voters put their ballot in the machine tallies how many ballots it has received. So at the end of the night, our responsibility before we close out everything is that we have to confirm that the paper ballots in the machine match the number that the machine is saying that it has. And I was completely unaware of, you know, how this whole system worked. But it gave me great confidence because I thought it to be very thorough. It was a very efficient manner in which to confirm that what our machine is saying happened, we can confirm that on the paper it actually did happen. It was a cross-check or a balance.
Thank you so much. I feel like I could ask you a lot more questions, and I just want to thank you as a citizen of Greene County for doing your civic duty for us this past fall. My guest today has been Karen Cameron, a first-time election judge on this past November 3rd. This has been a program of the League of Women Voters of Southwest Missouri. You can find this program and others in the Making Democracy Work series at ksmu.org.